The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, welcome into the Monday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Ian Safar, Joe Rexroad, back in town. Back at it. Joseph, welcome back. How we doing?
Call me Little Joe. Little Joe's back. Thanks for coming in, Big Joe.
Little Joey Rexroad, yes. back on the case here.
That's right. It's good to be back. Missed you guys. I was in 111 degree heat for much of the week, but sounds like you guys had fun. It is a dry heat.
That's good.
It is a dry heat. So you sweat instantly, so it immediately becomes a wet heat. But, yeah, it is technically a dry heat.
I do think there reaches a certain temperature where it's like, yeah, it doesn't really matter, man. It's just hot.
Yeah.
111 might be that temperature.
Yeah, I think there's a sliding scale. Like, you know, like if you were in New Orleans, like would I take Vegas at 111 over, like, New Orleans 96, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
I mean, so. But yeah, like you get, if it's an oven, if you're just basically sitting in an oven, it doesn't matter too much. But good to be back.
Good to have you back. Ian Safar, how we doing? Happy Monday morning to you.
Good What's morning. Going on? Happy Monday. Doing just fine. Thanks. Nice, relaxing weekend with the fam. Beautiful, well, off and on rain. Got some yard work done and went to the pool. That's about it. Nothing too crazy.
It's a good weekend.
Keep an eye on the World Cup and stuff. But, yeah, welcome back, Joe.
Thank you.
I mean, I didn't know what to do with myself. Scotty wasn't playing in the Scottish Open this weekend because he missed the cut. So
yeah, he did.
Didn't know what to do.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that happen?
It's first time in 4 years. I don't know. Got the British Open this week, though. Last major of the year. Let's go.
So if Scotty is out, you like are
yeah,
out
it's
of
it's not. Yeah. Probably not. I mean, if it's a major, I'll still watch.
Okay.
But if it's a... if it's just a regular old tournament and he's out, I'm probably not watching.
You could get like other favorite golfers too, right? I mean, like there's no limit on how
there's
many
no limit.
Golfers
I could root
you
for half the field, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I do like a couple other guys.
Yeah,
none of those guys were in contention either. It's like, oh, okay, cool, good stuff.
Who
out
won
there.
The Scottish Open?
I believe it was Tom Kim. I believe that's who won.
Okay,
but the fact that I don't know for sure kind of tells you.
I
yeah, Tom Kim.
Right. I think that's right.
He won.
Yeah.
Is that how it normally goes? Scottish Open is like the warm-up to the British Open? Is
yeah.
that? Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the British Open is also in Scotland, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes.
I'm learning golf here.
Yeah, he was 17 under. He won $1.6 million. Pretty good weekend.
That is pretty good.
It's not bad. Not bad. We got a lot going on today on the program. Corey Curtis for his weekly visit will be with us at 8 o'clock on the show. We'll have the Rex Rant later in the program. You know, every time Rex Road's off for a week, you never know what Rex Rant may come about. So,
I got some possibilities.
I'm looking forward to it going up a little bit later in the show. We did a lot of combo rants last week with me and Big Joe.
You and Joe? Duet. Yeah. Duet rant.
Kind of a duet.
Nice.
You know? People liked it. It was good stuff. So we'll take your thoughts in the meantime. 615-737-1025. Joe, you weren't here. It was a week ago today where the U.S. went out there and just did not go well against Belgium. We talked a lot. I mean, Kuharski was depressed in the immediate aftermath of it, made a video he put out on social media. Wasn't a whole lot less depressed on Wednesday when he came in about it. Very distraught, Paul Kuharski. Your thoughts on Team USA out of the World Cup?
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of – I've got. You know, I actually – you would think that, like, July, you know, in this business, like you're like, yeah, I don't really have much to say, nothing going on. But I was like, man, I actually have a lot of takes about soccer. One is, I just feel like there's just like so many overreactions in a lot of different ways of this, including like, I think one of the ones that bothered me the most is like, and I don't know what Kaharski said, but like the idea that watching that game, like, oh, this was all a sham and this team wasn't good. I think the team crapped themselves. I mean, when you have three guys who stand there and watch a ball and no one goes for it, and then it just kind of lands, like, that's little kid soccer. When you have a goalie who, like, can't kick a ball because he kicks the grass,
like,
it's little kid soccer. So there's two goals. There's two of their goals that you gave them. Now, did we oversell? Yeah, maybe some. Maybe some. I mean, ultimately, Belgium did beat us pretty soundly, you know, previously and all that stuff. So, like, was it a little bit oversold on the whole, like, this team could really make a run? Yeah, but the team did not perform. And I do believe that all the stuff that happened leading into it with Balogun getting last second, I think there's a psychological impact. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. But I just feel like you went from everybody's darling, you're the host team, all this momentum, to, oh, everybody hates you, you're cheaters, you benefited from FIFA's corruption, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, these guys have phones. I just think that there was an impact on them. Again, I don't want to make that be an excuse, but that whole thing, like, fine, whatever you want to say about that decision, why does it have to be the 11th hour? And, by the way, does that not hurt the team? If you've been preparing the entire time to not have him, to all of a sudden be, oh, never mind, scrap all that, he's back in. Right?
I mean, given the choice, I'd probably take him back in there. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
For sure. Oh, I would too. But I never saw that discuss. It's like there is a little bit of a – and it's for Belgium too. I mean, Belgium has to quickly, like, adjust to that. But I just think that whole thing being 11th hour like it was not good for anything. It was not good for the team. And then, you know, a lot of stuff that we talked about, which I even said, but as I have read some, there's been some interesting stuff. You know, I think every 4 years, we always have there's similar pieces about youth sports here, which we talk about all the time, right? Like how in Europe, it's like, if you're good, basically you're going to go to an academy and they're going to pay for all your stuff and they're going to develop you. And here it's like, if you have more money, you have more likelihood of getting, you know, like, that sucks. It's an unfortunate system compared to the rest of the world. So I buy all that. I also do think that, and we talked about it, but I think it was oversold a little bit on the whole, like, what if our best athletes, you know, played? Like, again, the best probably soccer player ever is not an impressive athlete, right? Like, is Lionel Messi an impressive athlete? He's shifty.
He's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that we don't think of soccer enough like baseball.
Yeah.
Right. Like, John Kruk was a great baseball player. I mean, John Kruk, like, the dude, there's no kind of athlete. There's a skill, you know, whatever, foot eye coordination, is that what you call it?
Sure. That's what we're going to call it.
Yeah. But it's just like in hockey, too. Is it always the absolute greatest athlete, or is it someone who just has a little bit of something with their hands, has that little bit of extra skill or feel?
Yep.
Right? So, and I think sometimes we just think, well, you get a bunch of 4-3 dudes out there, we'll kill you. I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't hurt. More of our top athletes in soccer, would it help? Yes. But also, like, Harry Kane, like, should be doing someone's taxes right now, and he's one of the greatest soccer players ever.
Well,
right?
That was kind of Kuharski's point, is like they didn't get out athleted in the game.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like they, you know, the athleticism was a problem. Now, if you want to talk skill and touches and being able to connect four passes together at some point, then yeah, but that's not athleticism. That's skill level. And there's different, and there's clearly still a way to go. And look, you know, people are bashing Pulisic, and I get it. Like, he was a no-show, basically, in the World Cup. And, you know, I don't love, like, the, well, hey, he was really hurt after, that always comes out after this stuff. I don't love that stuff. If you're healthy enough to play, you don't really get a whole lot of free pass from me on that.
Yeah.
But, like, I think Pulisic, in our mind, it's like, okay, he's our best player. He's really, really good. And you look at him compared to some of the other guys that are best players on some of these teams, it's like, well, he's not in the same stratosphere as those guys. So there is that you have to keep in mind, too. Like, Agreed. Athleticism and skill level that we're seeing from some of these guys are not really the same thing.
Yeah, and so I agree. Yeah. Yeah, Pulisic got buried, and I think he doesn't help himself, like some of like his interviews and stuff like that, you know, and even like what he said after, well, at least I can rest now. Like, really? You just say that?
Great.
Yeah, I know. Good for you, buddy. I thought Carly Lloyd, I appreciate her coming out. But yeah, then I do think the piling on him got a little bit excessive. But I agree. He is.
I don't think Landon Donovan's getting a Christmas card from Pulisic anytime soon.
Yeah. By the way, have you noticed? So I'm trying to think if people. I guess it's one of those things that, like, would people even know what I'm talking about? I guess probably not. But Robbie Boren, formerly of the Titans.
Yeah.
He and Landon Donovan have the exact same voice. No, they have the same voice.
Same voice. It's a lot, yeah.
I'm like, is this Robbie Boren on the call? It's crazy. I need to mention that.
Good job, Robbie.
Let me
go.
I think he's a big soccer guy, too. Like those guys. Yeah, the Pulisic stuff got a little crazy, but you're totally right. Like, that's our best guy. Well, look at some of the best guys of other countries, you know.
Not comparable.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a lot of I think that's most of my soccer takes. I mean, it's disappointing the way it all went down. But I do think that, like, I really do think that we could have beaten Belgium. I really do. And then probably not beat Spain, and that's about. So one more win, I think you feel good about the whole thing. The way the loss came down, I just saw a lot of like, see, this team was way better than us. I'm like, I don't know, man, maybe, but like when you make some of the mistakes we made in that game, you just don't even give yourself a chance. Now, granted, when they came right back and scored after the equalizer, that's one of those, you know, that's one of those where you're like, yeah, that's just a better team.
I wasn't worried, like honestly, I wasn't and I said this last week when it was 2-1 at the half, I was like, yeah, okay. They'll be fine. And then they came out the first 15 minutes after the half. We had the ball the whole time, and I thought they were going to tie it. And when they didn't, that's when I was like, okay, this may be a problem. And then, of course, you got into the bad news Bears.
And then little kid soccer ensues.
Yeah. So 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your reaction to get to coming up next. More of your thoughts on the World Cup coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Brian says, no golden boot for Pulisic, just a medical boot.
Nice.
Two different ones.
There you go. That's right.
Not the one you're looking for there. One texter says, USA shows no promise of ever making it out of the 10 to 20 range in the world. We'll see. I mean, I guess that depends on how you look at it. Like, because I'm largely with you from this standpoint. I do think that this was a better team than we've had. Like, it's certainly more exciting to watch than we've had before. And people, you know, in the aftermath of the loss to Belgium, looked at it and they said, okay, well, they've got the round of 32 this year, and we got caught up in them winning a round of 32 game. But at the end of the day, they ended up where they always end up, which is the round of 16 and out. And I understand that part of it, too. At some point, you're going to have to break through and make a run here. I do think there was a lot of good that came from this, and maybe some of that's just the simple fact that it was the World Cup and the U.S. made a decent run on our own soil, and I think that's different than what we've seen in the past there. So I still think there's a lot of good that came out of it. You know, are we ever going to be a soccer powerhouse? Like, I'm not convinced of that. Like, I think there's a long way to go before we get to that. I think there's a lot that goes into it, you know. Could you get the odd team here or there that makes a run to, like, you know, the semifinals or something? Yeah, I think so, and that would be great if that ends up happening one day. But I think we're still a long way off from being somewhat a country that looks at soccer and says, yep, you know what? Every World Cup, this team's got a chance to win it. And I just think there's a long way to go on that front. But I also think there's a middle ground between that and never showing any promise of being out of the top 20 or top 16 in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we've gotten better. I do think this team was better. It's the way it ended changes how that's viewed. But I mean, like you said, we had a dangerous attack, and I feel like a lot of in the past, it's just been a lot of like we can hang in there and we can lose 1-0 or 1-0, but you know, you could just see the difference. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing is now we move into, okay, it's about football season and the World Cup is 4 years from now. So
pretty much.
While these other countries talk mostly about soccer, care mostly about soccer all the time, 24/7. That's not us. I think there's progress. Yeah, are we ever gonna? First of all, are we ever gonna flip our youth sports situation to where it's not just completely squeezing every dollar out of? I doubt that. So I don't think we're gonna see like some European style soccer academy thing. Like I know that some kids get sent over there from here, yeah, and things like that, so that's not going to change that much. I think something like this has to be interesting to the youth of America. I think there's still more participation, so more athletes that could have gone into something else will pick soccer. And then can you get lightning in a bottle? Is it impossible to think that we could have a couple more like real difference makers next time around, along with some of these guys 4 years older? I think it could be interesting, but yeah, it's just like the passion for this, and it is different because it's like you said, we had it here. So next time, what is it in like Portugal, Spain? I think that's right. Like Portugal, Spain, then a little bit in South America, I guess.
I thought it was Morocco.
Yeah, Spain, Portugal, and Morocco. There you go.
But then, yeah, I saw something where
with matches also taking place in Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite the area.
That is. That's spanning a pretty big area. Yeah. So that's different too, it's just different being here. But I I'm excited about the World Cup semis and stuff too. And I can't say in the past that, I've kind of faded out when U.S. lost in the past a lot of times. So what does that mean? Is that true for more people? Does that matter? Does that mean anything?
No. I mean, I can only speak for myself. I'm not going to be watching. but I do think there are people like that. It is interesting. The betting favorites heading into the tournament were France, Spain, Argentina, and England. And here we are in the semifinals. They all made it. There you go. So that's... is that good? Is that bad? I don't really know how to view that when it comes to the World Cup. I guess if you're somebody that likes seeing the best teams compete for a championship, well, you got it here. Those were the four betting favorites heading into this.
Yeah, I would compare it to if they were all great in a particular year. The thing is, they aren't all off, and Kentucky hasn't been good. But if you had Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky in a Final Four. But also, in that year, they're all really good. That's basically what this is.
I really know what to make of it because, every time I watch France play, I'm like, geez, these guys are really good. And then every time I watch Messi play, I'm like, well, he just never allows him to lose. So I don't know what to make of all that. That's my guess on what the final will be, is France and Argentina. But I could be wrong.
I think that's probably a good guess. Spain, yes. I'm interested, I think that's, again, just for me at least, it feels like it'll be interesting to see because obviously the numbers have been absurd on some of these things. Some of the, the U.S.-Belgium game, the numbers were NFL, championship game stuff, right? That's if you combine Telemundo and Fox.
Yep.
So that's pretty big time. But, yeah, what about this now? That'll be interesting for me to see how much interest there is still in this. But I am you get into watching Mbappe play and, Kane and Bellingham. And obviously, Messi is just – it's insane to me how he just gets shots off,
I saw a stat.
Out of these angles that I'm like, oh, crap, he just missiled that somehow.
I don't know how much different this is than your normal – soccer player, but I would have to guess pretty significantly. But I saw a stat, I think it was the Athletic somewhere. It was they've tracked all the player movement and all these things. 65% of the time so far in the World Cup, Messi has been walking, just walking out there 65% of the time. And then he just lulls you to sleep and boom, there it is in the back of the net.
That sounds like such a high number. I'd like that.
I'd love that in comparison. But that was the number. 65% of the time he's been tracked, he's been walking out there.
Just kind of moseying around. Then all of a sudden,
Sunday stroll out here.
And he does. When he turns it on, though, he does have the change of direction and he's got bursts. Yeah.
Well, the thing that always stands out he needs a half an inch of room and he's going to get the shot off and probably a dangerous shot off. And I think that's what for a very novice soccer observer, that's what makes him different than everybody else watching. It's like he needs about a little bit of room, and right. then that thing's in the back of the net. It's like, wow, nobody else can really do that, huh? It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's – because I always – you know, it's like you compare it to different things. So, okay, so like an Ovechkin or something, right? Like
it's kind of similar, yeah.
Where it's just like – it's just the shot is just absurd. It's just a it's different than everybody else, you know? So – but I'm kind of excited about these. But then when that goes away, I'd like to hear from anybody who through this now is going to like pick a team. I mean, I was talking to some coworkers last week. He's like, yeah, you should actually check out Bundesliga is better. Like, check out the German teams. And I'm like, I just don't think I'm going to check out any of it. You know, like so I'm excited about this, but that's probably where I'm going to stop. Are other people out there going to, you know, become full-time soccer watchers? I have really enjoyed watching the games and sort of trying to, you know, like look at the structure and the yeah. shape and some of the strategy involved and kind of, I feel like, get the nuances down a little bit more.
I said this last week, though. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with just being a World Cup observer, like enjoying the World Cup. Like, that's where I'm at with my soccer fandom. And frankly, like, I don't know that it will ever get beyond that. Of like, I really like watching the World Cup. I think the way they do it's cool. Frankly, I one of the things about soccer that I've always appreciated is the amount of emphasis that they put on like these international tournaments and playing for your national team. I think is really cool. I think other sports could learn from that. So like, that part of it I think is cool. I don't know that I'm really ever going to care about much beyond that. Like, I'm not watching, you know, the English Premier League. I'm not doing that. You know, I'll watch Nashville SC if they go deep in, you know, MLS, like a playoff run. But right, like, other than right. that, like, it's not going to occupy a ton of my time. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, I think watching the World Cup has been cool. And the next time the World Cup comes around, because of what we just did here, I'll be looking forward to it more than. I mean, honestly, when the World Cup was here this summer, I was looking at it, I was like, oh, okay. And then I enjoyed watching it. The next time the World Cup comes around, I'll be looking forward to watching it. I think that's fine if you're a soccer fan like that out there.
And there's more, I mean, to me, though, for a lot of people, there's a lot of guys on this U.S. team that you know who are going to be there next time around, so there's a little bit more familiarity, right? Like, yeah. I feel like that kind of pays forward, too. But, yeah, I agree. It's probably like, I mean, there's probably a fair amount of people who, like, watch the Super Bowl every year internationally.
Yeah.
And they get into it. And they're like, this is cool, and then they don't.
They're not watching week 8 between the Jags and the Cardinals.
Now, some people pick teams. We actually have someone in the YouTube chat who says they're from Australia and need help picking a team to root for.
He's getting advice from Titans fans to not be a Titans fan.
Yes, yes. So there's that. But, yeah, some people just watch that and leave it alone. Some people watch, as you know, the NCAA tournament and then not watching February conference games.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the World Cup, plus an interesting ranking that's out there that will get the people talking around here. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. It is Reaction Monday, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Taking your thoughts and your reaction at 615-737-1025. All right, on the spot, who's winning the World Cup? I'm going France.
Okay, I'll take Argentina.
Okay.
Repeat champions.
Ian, you going Spain or England, or who we got?
I'm leaning France as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that makes me feel better.
Yeah, the Messi, Mbappe, hopefully we get that in the final.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I mean, you know, England's been playing awesome too. Bellingham for them has been super fun to watch.
If they win, we're going to have to console Fraser. Like, he'll be...
I was thinking
very
about
upset.
That. I think that's the Italian.
He hates England.
He does not like.
Yeah, I think
England.
That's the Italian side in Fraser.
I think it is, but he is. He hates England.
Yeah, England feels entitled. He thinks they feel entitled. The English fans.
Okay.
And I can
I mean,
see that
going
back.
I mean, they haven't won it since they're like the Maple 50s. Leafs, man.
That's
66.
That's the comparison I made last week. Yeah.
There you go.
That's good.
So So that's who we think will win. Who are we rooting for to win?
Probably Argentina.
I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for France, I think.
I think I'm going to go England. I think I want England to win.
Wow.
You know? As annoying as it is that they sing Wonderwall after all their wins, I mean, I love Oasis, but just not really Wonderwall that much.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of cool. You know, maybe it's just because, like, David Beckham's up there in the box, like, you know, he and his kid are losing their mind, and then Posh Spice is just, like, completely ignoring the whole thing, you know? I don't know. Something about it gets me going.
I think England deserves at least a 200-year punishment from giving us the Beatles, you know? Can't win the World Cup.
Hey, by the way, they're singing Hey Jude whenever he scores a goal. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Well done.
That's kind of where my take comes from on this. 200 years.
200 years for the Beatles?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
A couple hundred years from now, enjoy the World Cup out there, England. Good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is, like, you know, unpatriotic of me to root for England, especially since it's the 250th anniversary of us, you know, getting our country from them. But I don't have something about it, you know. I just kind of – it would be kind of crazy to see that happen, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they are – because really, like, when I make my comparison of Duke, Kansas, it's actually more like they're like UCLA. You know what I mean? They're really not like – it's like take out Kentucky and make them UCLA. Like, they used to be great. But really, like, are they really a blue blood still? I mean, not really, you know. But we still remember, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Walton and John Wooden.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know who was England's star in the 60s. I have no idea. I just know David Beckham, basically.
ESPN has come out with their annual thing that they do that Fowler puts out there of executives, coaches, and scouts ranking top NFL players. So they go through all these different positions. The quarterback is out today, which will generate a lot of buzz. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But we do have another Tennessee Titan in the top 10, according to the executives, the scouts, and the coaches. Peter Skoronski, in terms of the interior offensive lineman, coming in at number 9 on this list, Joe. So you're factoring in guards and centers here on this list. So some interesting names. I mean, former Vol, Trey Smith, also on this list as well, at number 7 as a guard. So there you go. I mean, somebody on the list, I mean, it shows that, like, the highest ranking and the lowest ranking, and then they kind of put them all together. Somebody had Trey Smith at number 1 on this thing. So
Who's
that?
That's
Trey Smith is number 7 on the list. Peter Skoronski at number 9 for the Tennessee Titans. So you talked about Jeffrey Simmons and kind of his place on the NFL top 100 list that came out last week. But Peter Skoronski, number 9 on this list here. And former Titan Aaron Brewer right behind him at number 10 of the Miami Dolphins. So there's all sorts of Tennessee connections on this interior offensive lineman list, Joe. Good to see.
Wow. So I just want to make sure I have it right. Peter Skoronski and Aaron Brewer both ranked in the top 10 by NFL executives.
That's correct.
Interesting. Relative to takes I've heard in the past.
And not just guards. All of them. Centers. Yeah. Guards. Yeah. Take your pick.
By the way, Skoronski also had a 1. He got someone ranked him number 1. You got a quote, NFC executive, quote, he's absolutely jumped to elite status. He's going to get paid a lot more than people think, end quote.
Everybody on this top 10 except Brewer got a 1.
How about Brewer? Let's see. Some Brewer quotes. Quote, from an NFC executive. Quote, most underrated player in the league. End quote. There's somebody saying he's scheme-specific, twitchiness.
Okay.
You know, quote, but his twitchiness and explosiveness are off the charts, end quote. Aaron Brewer. That Aaron Brewer, how about that? Wow, interesting.
Get
apparently he can play a little bit.
Get the scale out there. How much does he weigh?
Tiny little
He's
Aaron
tougher
Brewer.
Than a $2 steak, as we know.
That's right.
I saw this last night on ESPN's website. I legitimately started laughing. I was like, oh, Aaron Brewer is in the top 10 of all interior offensive linemen in the league.
Amazing.
Most underrated player in the league. I mean, that's got to be that's a hot take. I mean, maybe not, you know?
I don't know.
People don't think about interior offensive linemen all that much, so maybe Aaron Brewer is the most underrated player in the league.
I mean, look – I seriously have no idea. He was fine here, you know? He was fine. Some people lost their minds because they wanted to measure him every day, but he was fine. Yeah, he's obviously better than some people think. Yeah, that does seem like that's a heck of a quote.
That's a heck of a quote.
Most underrated player in the league. But, yes, as far as Skoronski, that's Everybody keeps talking about he's going to get paid more than people think. I think at this point, people around here are conditioned to expect. Like,
he's going to get paid about exactly what I think.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to get a huge number that you'd be like, whoa, an offensive guard? And it's like, yeah, it's the NFL. It's kind of how things are going.
Yeah. Linderbaum is on here at number 8. So the massive contract that he signed over the summer, 3 years, $81 million to now be the center for the Raiders. So he's at number 8 on this list. And again, like, that's the thing about the interior offensive linemen. Like, you get into like running backs and receivers and quarterbacks, and you're not going to find as many people who have like a first place vote in this thing. You get into interior offensive linemen, it's just like, yeah, take your pick out there. And it's, I think this is, I don't know, this is probably one of the most difficult position groups in the league to properly identify here and rank.
Yeah, there's a lot more probably what your team has seen, maybe in your division or whatever, and personal experience. But, yeah, you look at Linderbaum, who also, had a one. You got people saying, very few at center position can do what he can do, getting to the second level, great communication. And you think about, man, if the Titans would have been able to put Linderbaum and Skoronski together.
You'd certainly be feeling a lot better about the interior of the offensive line than we feel right now. Now, allocating all that money to do it, that's where the debate comes in. But you'd be feeling a lot better about it than what they've got at the center spot right now. By the way, if you're wondering who the number one on this executive scouts coaches list is, it's Tyler Smith, the guard from the Dallas Cowboys. So there you go.
And still, I'm actually surprised he's quote-unquote only 30. But Quentin Nelson, Indianapolis Colts. He was 3 last year. He's 2 this year. There's a guy who's, there's an example of, and I think people at this station also had issues and had a lot of fun with the Colts picking him where they did. If you pick a guard where they did, this is what you hope for, right?
So is Skoronski breaking into the top 10 on this little list here? And I would assume a payday at some point here in the not too distant future coming. Does that justify being picked at number 11 in your mind?
Well, I think every time we talk about this, I always have to be like, okay, wait, let me go back. Let me go back to that draft and look at it and who they should, right? Because that's if we're going to go in retrospect, then who else would they have taken? Ultimately,
I got one that stands out to me that they could have, but everybody would be doing that right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
That would be Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've talked about that. Yeah. So, and what? He went like 30th, right?
He went 20th.
He went 20th. Yeah. It's getting closer. It's like if he's gonna be a great player, if he's gonna end up being a multi-year whatever. I know Pro Bowler has its limitations, but if he's gonna continue to get better from what he was. Again, he's 24 years old right now.
Yep.
And he's going to stay healthy, and he's going to be an anchor of your offensive line for a decade plus, then sure. I get the idea of a non-premium position, an interior offensive line that high, but that's what you hope for. So he still has to keep doing that. He has to stay healthy. He has to validate this big second deal he's about to get. But if he does, then sure.
Jahmyr Gibbs taken at 12, right after him.
Yeah.
Christian Gonzalez taken at 17.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Jackson Smith
and Jigba, number 20. There are also some bad ones in there, too. Like, Lucas Van Ness was taken by the Packers, number 13. It's not good. Not a good pick. So, I mean,
sorry to bring that up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just, there are hits and misses all along the way in this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, comparatively speaking to recent first-round picks the Titans have had, Skoronski's done quite well for himself.
No doubt. Well, I mean, this could end up
being... It's a no-doubter to give him a second contract. When's the last time they had that?
Exactly.
I guess Simmons.
Right. I mean, Simmons at 19 and him in the 22? Is that the 22?
23.
Draft? Oh, that's the 23 draft. That's right. It's 2026. That's right. Thank you.
22 was Burks.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It was a no-brainer the other way to not do that.
But, yeah, so that's two... Clear. Oh, absolutely. They're getting a second deal. I mean, if you have to go, back more than a decade, I think, right, to LaJuan in 15?
14.
14.
Yep.
Right? It's a rarity. So, yeah, better and better. That number 11 looks better and better. And
God, they got to come across more first-round picks to get second deals, man. Hopefully these last two will do it with Ward and Tate.
They do. And also, just don't, you know, I know it's sad that you don't have Aaron Brewer anymore, but wish him well.
Well, I mean, at some point he'll be a free agent again, and you could bring him back home, you know. Maybe years from now, but you can bring him back home.
He and Malik Willis.
By the way, somebody laid out the Dolphins roster just like all on paper the other day on social media that I saw, and the headline was, could the Dolphins go 0-17 this year? Maybe.
Really?
Yeah, they might.
Oh, God. Poor Malik. Very good. God, he gets his opportunity, and they're like, here, let's get rid of all the good players.
I mean, I would probably give the ball to A-Chan, however the heck he pronounces his name now. I'd probably give it to him 900 times this year. Like, I'd be like, you're going to have 475 carries, and when we're not handing you the ball, we're going to turn around and throw it to you.
And maybe run some options with you and Malik.
You're just going to get the ball every play.
May as well.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Peter Skoronski, plus the quarterbacks list of the executives have been put out there as well. There's some hot takes on there. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We mentioned the interior offensive line that the executives, coaches, and scouts have come out with that Fowler puts together. And by the way, like, I like these lists. Usually the list stuff bothers me. I'm like, okay, whatever. Who cares? Like, so-and-so has put their random list together.
It's list.
It is a little bit more of a, I guess, a talking point when it comes from people inside the league. So that part of it I appreciate. Like, it's the same thing with the quarterback tier stuff from The Athletic, when they put it out there. It's like, yeah, well, this is not just like Sando's opinion that he's throwing out there. It's people that he's talking to in the league. So
yep.
I do put more stock into those type of things when it comes from people inside the NFL. So the quarterbacks have come out this morning from Fowler that he put out there talking to all these execs, coaches, and scouts. And I'll just go through the top 10 that they put out there that's being widely discussed right now. So Josh Allen is at number one. Mahomes at two. They've got Stafford at three. Burrow at four. Lamar at five. So I don't know a ton of people that would take a huge issue with those names in the top five. Dak Prescott at number six, which I believe is where the spiciness begins. Herbert at number seven. Drake May at eight. Jared Goff at nine. Caleb Williams at 10. There's your top 10 from the executives, coaches, and scouts. And I could go through everybody receiving honorable mentions, but we'd be here all day because it's like half the league after that. So there you go. Cam Ward did not receive an honorable mention or a vote, by the way, which is not a huge surprise.
No, that's not a huge surprise. This is the year for him to start proving that he should get any kind of consideration. I think Dak is an overranking.
I would agree.
Someone gave him three.
I mean, who is that? Yeah. How could you put Prescott in top three?
He's a really good player.
He's a good player. Like, I'm not trying to bash him, but like, the sixth best quarterback in the league or the third best quarterback in the league, it's a little rich.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I do. I'm not just saying this because you're a Packers fan. I think Jordan Love, I would have him. Like, I would have Jordan Love. I mean, I would have Jordan Love ahead of Caleb Williams. I mean, call me crazy. I understand the ceiling, the tremendous potential and possibility for Caleb Williams. I understand that last year he started to actualize that. He made some incredible plays. That throw in the playoffs was unbelievable. I still would take the steadiness right now if I had to win a game of Jordan Love. That's the thing. Like, how are we – like, how do you frame this? Is it that?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
If I had to win a game, I'd take this guy or this guy? Because some of these are like, again, Justin Herbert. There's another guy. He's number seven. We all agree he has the talent. We all agree everything you want in a quarterback, he has it. But then he comes up short in the big moments over and over again. I mean, and frankly, if you're going to talk about that, then Josh Allen, number one, is
yeah, exactly.
You can contend with, right?
I think it's something to contend with. I mean, there's so much nuance that goes into it that you're going to find different people that view things differently. I mean, like, even Burrow at four, I get it because I understand how good Joe Burrow is. But Joe Burrow's never on the field. Like, that's a big problem. Like, that's part of playing the position is you have to be available. Now, I get it. I mean, the last time we saw him on the field –
for a full season was a couple years ago, and he threw for like 5,000 yards and 45 touchdowns, and he was unbelievable. So nobody questions how good he is. He's just, I mean, he talks about with Lamar Jackson durability concerns. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow's got a lot of durability concerns too. I mean, that's the one thing I'll say for Dak is the last couple years, he's just been in there. He's been playing every time. I mean, I thought last year, for instance, I thought Jared Goff really helped himself last year in terms of like the way he's viewed, because and he threw for a ton of yards again. He played really well, and the offensive line wasn't what it has been for them. He lost his offensive coordinator, and he still came in and played really well. So like I've got no problem with Goff being at number nine here. But I think the biggest person on this list that should have a gripe is Sam Darnold. Dude just won the Super Bowl. The last 2 years he's put together, I mean, just go look at the numbers. The last 2 years he's been really, really good. He's quarterback back-to-back 14-3 teams and has won a Super Bowl. And he can't find his way into the top 10? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And he's right. It looks like he's like next, right? It looks. I mean, I assume they're ranking his honorable mentions by how the votes
I would
went,
assume
which
so.
Would be he'd be 11. But I agree on Goff for sure. Last year he showed me a lot because he did not have all the advantages he's been having, and he still played really well. I think he should be in there. Drake May? I mean, Drake May obviously had a great year last year, and he's going to be consistently in this. I don't have much doubt. He's 23 years old, but I might put Darnold ahead of him right now.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I might put Jordan Love ahead of him right now. I mean, I just think, like, some of this is obviously, look, by the way, I saw some amazing takes while I was off on people talking about Joe Montana as a system quarterback, maybe the most underrated player in NFL history. I'm like, I'm not even saying that, but my goodness.
There you go.
It was with Tyler Dunn and his podcast. I was like, holy cow. But anyway, I think some of this is like, and maybe some people are knocking Darnold for this, but some of this is just so much of like your situation, you know, your situation helping you or hurting you in some of these cases. I would say with your thing on Burrow, I agree. It's one of the, as far as durability, I mean, it's a huge concern. But also, it's just like when you're ranking teams going into the season, you assume health. You know that there's going to be injuries and stuff like that, but like all you can do is just assume health. So, like, I still would rank him way up there.
Yeah, like, you know, if you can promise me he's going to be healthy, then, yeah, he's probably top five quarterback. That's just been a risky promise to make over his career. At this point, I mean, like I said, what this really shows me is I think there are five upper crust of the upper crust guys. And then beyond that, it really starts to get into a bunch of guys that are kind of all there together, right? Like, I think you could put Darnold in the mix in the top 10. You know, Love, you could put, I mean, Jaden Daniels is on this. He didn't do much last year, but he's hurt. But his rookie year, he was awesome. Like, I think from about six to about 14 or 15, there are a lot of guys that maybe are not necessarily interchangeable, but are kind of all in that similar mold. And I think they're like the elite of the elite. Everybody pretty much agrees is the five that are listed at the top here.
Yeah, and it's interesting with Matthew Stafford. So all those, let's see, did all those guys get up top? Yeah. Allen, Mahomes, Stafford, Burrow, Lamar, they all got number one votes.
Yep.
I think they're the only ones who, yeah, those are the five who got number one votes. Stafford's really interesting because, first of all, I mean, at this point, I don't think there's any question he's a Hall of Famer. We had that sort of argument a few years ago after they won it, right? Like, wow, he actually might have to be in the discussion.
And well, now he's added in a league MVP to the mix.
Yeah, so it's hard to argue otherwise. He is 38. Is he, you know, is he? It's hard to argue with what he did last year. I still in my mind feel like, you know, Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson are like a higher level of QB than him, but maybe.
Well, maybe, but also like you brought up situation. There's nobody in the world that's got a better situation than him right now, right?
Right.
And I mean, you're throwing to Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. Yeah, as long as he keeps his head on straight.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you got McVay running the offense. You've got that defense now with Myles Garrett. I mean, it's a heck of a situation for him to be in heading into this year.
No, like I might, yeah, like I might
he might
bet,
be an MVP
bet on him as much as anybody. I still, is he, Is he? Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm.
No, I hear what you're saying. Like, I think it's a good thought. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. Like, what is Lamar going to be this year?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he got one and he got an unranked.
Yeah.
Among all these guys, you look at the other guys at the top, nobody else had an unranked. There's still people who really don't like him. Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it is getting more and more like Burrow with him. Like, okay, can you still play him this way? Where he's most effective and keep him in one piece, because he's 29 now.
Well, and you bring up Herbert. Like, to me, it feels like every year we have this discussion about Herbert. It's like, okay, everybody views him as like this top guy, and you watch him play, and you're like, okay. I mean, I can see it. I mean, he'll make some plays. He's a good quarterback. But at some point, you've got to break through and win some games. Like, say what you will about Josh Allen. I mean, at least Josh Allen has won playoff games before, right? Like, I mean, he's done that. Now, he's not won the biggest games at the biggest moments, and I think this last year was a enormous wasted opportunity from the Bills when you have Kansas City cleared out of the way, and you go on the road and you lose to Denver, and he turns the ball over in the process. So, I mean, there's a ton of pressure, I think, on Allen heading into this year. But at least he has won playoff games. Like, Herbert has not. Like, at some point, that either needs to change or you need to get him off this list and get him lower, because we put all that emphasis on the rest of these quarterbacks about winning, and sometimes it feels like he just gets a free pass on some of that stuff, and that bothers me. And I think it's put up or shut up time for Justin Herbert, the Chargers, this year.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and I know at least for The Athletic, I don't remember the ESPN last year, but I mean, I feel like Herbert not long ago has been ranked, like he's been pushed up in the top five area by people, and so I guess we are seeing a little bit of a drop, but yeah, if they don't do anything again this year, situation, it's a team sport, but at some point, Moore probably needs to be at his feet.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the quarterback rankings that ESPN has put out there, plus some more information in the aftermath of the Chris Johnson ALS diagnosis that we'll get into. Robbie and Rexro, 1025 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.